Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. February 21, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn: the cold spell, nature's cold shoulder. The extreme cold spell that the US is currently experiencing is truly historic. But then, so is everything these days. The American society has never been so divided, at least not since the Civil War. Gaps between the haves and the have-nots have never been so wide. The COVID pandemic has forced historic closures on America that have not been implemented at least since the Spanish flu, and the level of violence, substance abuse, food insufficiency, and depression are all skyrocketing. In light of all that's happening, and keeping in mind the historic fires that burned for months throughout the West and Midwest all summer and fall, the cold spell, as bitter as it is, seems more like a natural continuation of the trend of extremism overtaking the US than an unexpected disaster. From the human level to the inanimate nature, everything is breaking records of intensity, and it is to no one's favor. If America wants to survive, it must reverse course. Just as it indoctrinated its people to overconsume, enshrine self-indulgence, become fanatic over privacy, individuality, and entitlement, now it must do the opposite. Now it must teach its people how to see each other, with their hearts, not with their eyes. It must teach its people that they are all dependent on each other, and that their fate is sealed unless they all work shoulder to shoulder to pull the nation out of the swamp. The math is straightforward: the more extreme the egoism, the more extreme the climate, both social and environmental. America has put egoism on a pedestal, called it individualism, and enshrined it in its constitution. No country has put itself more at odds with nature than the US, and turned this approach into its core ideology. Since America has turned itself into a role model of individualism, of going against the mutuality in nature, the harmony in it, the coexistence, nature, in turn, has made America an example of the consequences of inconsideration with nature's most basic law of harmony, achieved through mutuality and balance. What you give to nature is what you get in return. When you give nature a cold shoulder, it gives one right back. If America wants to survive, it must reverse course. Just as it indoctrinated its people to overconsume, enshrine self-indulgence, become fanatic over privacy, individuality, and entitlement, now it must do the opposite. Now it must teach its people how to see each other, with their hearts, not with their eyes. It must teach its people that they are all dependent on each other, and that their fate is sealed unless they all work shoulder to shoulder to pull the nation out of the swamp. The menace that is COVID-19 is just the harbinger. Many other perils will follow in its wake, and they will be far worse than their little brother. The only way America can dodge the bullets is if it unites as one nation fighting for its life. But nature isn't punishing America, it is merely balancing the extreme egoism America imposed on it. If America reverses course, so will nature, and all the storms will calm. Nature speaks the language of balance and harmony. The more we are like it, the more we understand it, and the better it relates to us. If America stops fighting and starts reciprocating with it, it will discover that it doesn't need to conquer nature in order to build a good life for its people. Nature itself will do it for them. My new article on LinkedIn: Have We Seen the Last of COVID? The state of Israel is quickly approaching the 50% mark of population that has received the second shot of the COVID vaccine. The country is reopening schools, gyms, movie theaters, malls, and hotels. Have we seen the last of COVID? I understand that people have been on edge and their patience has run out, but if I look at what experts are saying, I don't see that they are so excited over what seems like rash behavior. If we want to see the end of COVID, we have to focus on two things. One, let the health professionals hash out the solution among themselves, without interference from politicians and other interested bodies, and then follow their directives. 2. Unite our ranks, enhance our solidarity as a nation. Children, for example, are not vaccinated. If we send them back to school, we know what will happen. The virus today is not what it was when it first appeared. It is affecting children, and even embryos, so how can we let children huddle up in cramped classrooms where they will certainly infect each other? And if they become sick, how will it affect their parents? How will it affect their siblings? Once again, decisions are made according to political interests and not according to medical considerations, and everyone is paying the price. I understand that people want to have fun, but since when is this a factor in a government's decisions? In the summer, people love going to the beach and swimming in the water. But if the water is contaminated, and dipping in the water puts people's lives at risk, would people still go in the water? Would the authorities allow them to risk themselves and get in the water? In an orderly country, authorities have the authority to do what is right for the public. This is why they are called authorities. Regrettably, the fact that politicians endorse policies that score them points in the public opinion because of the approaching election, regardless of the public's safety, only proves that their interest is not our health, but the promotion of their own political careers. We should be more adamant in what we demand from our elected officials. If we want to see the end of COVID, we have to focus on two things. 1. Let the health professionals hash out the solution among themselves, without interference from politicians and other interested bodies, and then follow their directives. 2. Unite our ranks, enhance our solidarity as a nation. We cannot erase our many differences, but we can, and must, elevate the value of unity above any personal opinion. These are the only tools we have to beat the virus. In fact, the latter tool will solve not only our COVID crisis, but all the crises we are facing now or will face in the future. Michael Leitman, on Quora, do you fear death? Why or why not? The death of the animate body has no relevance to our true lives, which neither start nor end with its existence. When we die, we merely start feeling ourselves in another state. We should thus not fear our deaths. It is much more beneficial if we think about how to continue our existence. Death is also detached from the fear of death. The will to live is eternal and absolute. It is the will to connect with life's source, the quality of love, bestowal and connection, and to exist in connection with it. Our animate existence, which we currently know and feel as our lives, is a tiny state of existence that we are granted in order to attain the sensation of much greater, more expansive and eternal levels of existence. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Desires Israel and Yeshudim. Question: there are desires such as Israel and Yeshudim within a person. What is it? Answer: Yeshudim comes from the word Yeshud, unity when we try to unite. Israel, Yasharkel, straight to the Creator when we are heading toward the goal. These are different nuances depending on what we are doing at the moment. Each person has these properties, depending on how we highlight them at every second. Israel comes out of Egypt because they are more and more united. When they unite, they become Yeshudim. The stages of ascent determine the name of both the person and the action. Question: do all these characteristics appear in a person who begins to study Kabbalah? Answer: yes, absolutely in everyone. The fact is that as we are developing, then all the many properties and circumstances add up in us, into one integral picture, and this does not seem quantitatively. For example, now I am in a room where there are many objects, all different kinds of them, but I see them as one picture. I understand all this, I know, I am familiar with it. Question: so do I need to know and understand all the details? Answer: no, you will know and understand them. But it depends on what form, more or less, as far as the root of your soul needs to be connected with the source, with the creator. Question: 90% of the people do not know how all the processes in the world take place. Is it not so in spirituality? Spiritually, should I know everything? Answer: no. Just as in our world the main thing for me is to feel comfortable egoistically at every moment, so in the spiritual world, the main thing for me is to feel comfortable altruistically at every moment. That is, to produce the maximum return in those properties that appear every second. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, April 22, 2019. Freedom is restriction. Question: free trade, free market, is this good or bad? Answer: but we see that it is not free. As long as our world is governed by rigid egoistic laws, nothing can be free. We must regulate these laws so that we do not kill each other around the corner. Therefore, we must forcefully drive ourselves into some kind of network of mutual relations, restrictions, contracts. The fact is that all contractual conditions that exist in society today come to us from the time of ancient Rome and even from earlier times. We rely on them. Our laws are based on Roman law, Greek law, slogans of the French Revolution, etc. This all exists to this day and carries a limiting factor. Freedom means restriction. But within the framework of these restrictions, a person feels free. From what? From the fact that no one will attack him, nothing bad will happen to him. That is, freedom is practically a set of laws that help us not kill each other and to coexist peacefully within these laws. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, April 29, 2019. Pray and seek a connection with the Creator. Question: how should I work with the four types of desires that are manifested in me when I work in the ten? Answer: prepare interrelated, mutually complementary qualities so that one common upper force is manifested in them. Question: but what should I do when, say, the desires of Egyptians arise in me? I feel that I only want to perform actions, I do not have the strength to even think about intention. I do not want to hear about it at all. Answer: pray. Question: is this the only thing that can be done? To analyze and then pray? Answer: pray at the beginning, during, and after the analysis. The main thing is to be constantly connected with the Creator. Question: are there no other actions? Answer: there are actions, but they are auxiliary, aimed at becoming even more connected with the Creator. This is not easy. It seems to us, well, what could be easier? I turned on some kind of a light bulb and that is it, you are attached to it. No. Your egoism will work against this. So, it turns out that your egoism is here, the Creator is here, and you are between them in order to correctly connect them with each other so that the Creator corrects egoism, and egoism approaches the Creator. Comment: yes, but can I push a button somewhere and start praying? My response: start pushing. Look for this button. Comment: this is not a kind of book, someone wrote a prayer in and I am reading it. Prayer is a state. You have to reach it. My response: yes, you need to look for it. Question: does it mean that all my work is to search? To search where these Egyptians, mixed multitude, and Israel are in me. Answer: all this will manifest itself, the main thing is to seek a connection with the Creator. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, May 13, 2019.